Well, good morning, friends. We're busy with a study I've entitled Jesus is Lord, and I'm reminding us of this vital message because of a quote I made a few years ago, made famous by that great missionary Hudson Taylor, where he said, Jesus is either Lord of all or is not Lord at all. Let's pray first. We thank you, Lord, that as we contemplate this absolutely vital subject, that you would speak into our hearts and our lives and convict us of this reality that we discover in your word. We just give you all the praise that you are Lord, and it makes life so much easier for us because we can trust you with every single thing. We give you all the praise. Amen. Well, as we look at the subject, I want you to begin to think about this question. And if this question is true, I want us to begin to think about what the implications are. At the end of the series, I'm going to be asking that question, so what? If Jesus is Lord, so what? In the first week of our study, I asked the question, what will it take us for us to realize that Jesus is Lord? In that sermon, we looked at Acts chapter 10, where we saw that Peter needed a vision from heaven. Cornelius needed to be introduced to Jesus. The men from Joppa who went with Peter needed to see the image of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And ask us the question, perhaps God is sending the pandemic to make us realize that he is still Lord. Last week, I reminded you of the reasons why I preach about Jesus being Lord. I preach about him being Lord because the Bible declares him as Lord, because the Bible spoke of his lordship prophetically. I preach that Jesus is Lord because his lordship overrides the creation order and the law. His lordship gives him power to save. And friends, I preach about Jesus because the day is coming when everybody else will also call him Lord. Today I want to begin to look at some specific areas where Jesus is Lord. And first of all, I want to remind us that Jesus is Lord over the demons. The famous Christian thinker and author C.S. Lewis said this on this particular subject of demons. He said, one is to disbelieve their existence, the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased at both errors and hail the materialist or the magician with the same delight. We have those two extremes in the world today, people who don't think they exist at all and people who try and find the devil behind every single bush. The Bible has much to say about demons, and I want to read a passage out of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we read about the healing of a demon-possessed man. It says this, verse 1, they went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs near him. The man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart, and he broke the irons off his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell at his knees in front of Jesus. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torment me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of the man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. And they begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs were feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what happened to the demon-possessed man and about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting to the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him. He said, "Go to your home, family, and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. These are the lessons I want to teach us today. First of all, friends, demons are real. The word demon or demon appears about 75 times in the New Testament. In no case are they presented as imaginary or fictional, even by the Son of God. In our story, they mentioned in verse 12, it says the demons begged Jesus. Satan too is a demon, friends. And he is mentioned numerous times in both Testaments, as we'll see a little bit later on. So if they're real, where do they come from? Well, friends, like all sin, they come out of God's perfect creation. Jesus is declared as the creator of all things. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says, "He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were made, things in heaven, angels and demons, and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him." Now, first of all, let me say, friends, Jesus created the angels as those things in heaven which are invisible. According to a structure, and that structure was made up of thrones, powers, rulers, and authority. However, like sin entered the world through one person, friends, one of the archangels, one of the angels in heaven, Lucifer, rebelled against God and was thrown out of heaven. We read about this in Ezekiel chapter 28 in verse 2. It says, "Son of man, say this. This is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, 'I am a God.'" Small g. Then a little bit further on in the verse 17, we read, "Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor, so I threw you to the earth." Friends, Satan is that angel described in Ezekiel 28, the one who was described with pride in his heart. And when he got thrown down to heaven, friends, he took a third of the angels with him. We read about that in Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth." So where do demons come from, friends? Demons are fallen angels with all of their powers and structures. So in Colossians, where it talks about thrones and powers and rulers and authorities, the demons have the same structure of authority and they have the same powers, friends, as angels, except, of course, they don't use them to the glory of God anymore. Demons are real. Let's not lose sight of that, friends. Let's not mess around with demons. They're real. Secondly, demons have a leader. He's known by many names. Originally, he was created as the anointed cherub. In Ezekiel 28 and verse 14, it says, it begins with, "You were the anointed cherub." He's also called the day star or the son of the morning. These designations are found in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, which says this, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning?" In the New Testament, he's called the evil one, a title found in Matthew 6 verse 13 and John 17, 15 and 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3 and 1 John chapter 5 verse 18 and 19, amongst others. He's also called Satan, a name found over 50 times in the scripture, and it means an adversary. Friends, Satan's known by many names, but his primary name that we know him by is the evil one or Satan. Friends, that leader of the demons has a goal. And his goal is defined in his names as well, because in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11, he's called the destroyer. In Revelation 9 verse 11 says, "And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in Greek his name is Apollyon." Abaddon and Apollyon, friends, both mean the destroyer. We'll see that, of course, later on. How does he do his work? Well, he does his work as he's defined in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He's called the roaring lion. It says your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking something he may devour. How does he achieve these goals? How does he destroy and devour? Well, there are different ways. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, he's designated as the tempter. He is the one who entices people to come and break away from God. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, he's defined as the deceiver. He is the one who is busy deceiving the world, deceiving the great masses of humanity into rejecting God and his ways. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 14, he is seen as the angel of light. Sometimes the work of deception, friends, is by offering counterfeits of the truth, of moral truth and spiritual understanding. Oh, the devil has been so clever in that regard in so many that call themselves Christian leaders today. Of course, he's the devil. The word devil means accuser or slanderer. And certainly the devil is great at accusing and slandering. And primarily, he is called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Not a nice guy, is he? tempting, deceiving, slandering, accusing. Friends, the devil is not a person you want to mess around with. So far, we've seen that the devil is real, and the demons are real, and the demons have a leader called the devil. Thirdly, I want you to notice and understand that demons understand spiritual truth, friends. Demons understand the Trinity. As Jesus approaches this man, we read in verse 17, he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" On another occasion, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 33 and verse 34, it says, "In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, 'Ha! What do you want with me, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" Friends, while the world is confused about spiritual truth, the demons are not. The demons knew who Jesus is. The demons understand the truth of the Trinity and of the Godhead, friends. And while those around Jesus as he walked the face of this had no clue about who he was, the demons knew who he was. But they don't only understand the Trinity, they also understand authority. As Jesus approaches the man, we read in verse 6, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. On other occasions, we read the same thing. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried, "You are the Son of God." And Mark chapter 7, verse 25, in fact, it says, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. Friends, the demons understand authority. The word for worship means to bend the knee, or sometimes translated as to kiss the hand, basically implying bowing down before the one in authority. Friends, what great joy to know. Demons are also under the authority of Jesus as Lord. They have no option, friends. They understand spiritual truth. They know who Jesus is, and they bow before him because he is Lord. So far, we've seen that the demons are real, they have a leader, and that demons understand spiritual truth. Finally, friends, and fourthly, demons obey Jesus. It says, as Jesus approached the man, we read in verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside nearby. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Notice, friends, the demons feared Jesus. Soon as Jesus approaches the man, it says, he shouted on his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus? Swear to God that you won't torture me." Friends, the demons are afraid of Jesus. What a great encouragement that is for us. While we may fear demonic activity, Friends, the demons fear Jesus because Jesus is Lord over the demons. Friends, notice also, the demons could only act with permission. Verse 13 says, only when he gave them permission did the evil spirits come out and went go into the pigs. We read a similar story in the story of Job. In chapter 1 of verse Job, in verse 8 to 12, it says, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike at everything he has, and surely he will curse you to the face. Then the Lord said to Satan, very well, everything he has is yours, and on the man himself you may not lay a finger. Then Satan went out of the presence of the Lord. Friends, demons don't have authority to do what they like. Not even Satan can do what he likes without the permission of God. Friends, God's in charge. Satan isn't God's equal. Many people think that, you know, the battle in the air is between good and evil. Those are just the stories of Superman and Spider-Man, friends. They're not the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible tells us God is God and there is no equal. Even demons do not have authority to do what they like. Notice thirdly, friends, demons are destroyed because of Jesus. Verse 13 says, he gave them permission and the evil spirits came out and went to the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. You see, the pigs are already considered unclean. But Jesus removed 6,000 demons into 2,000 pigs. Not a bad odds. 6,000 is the number of the legion. A legion in the Roman army was 6,000 men. Friends, the fall of Satan began while Jesus was in earth. In Luke chapter 10, we have the story of Jesus sending out the 72. And in verse 17 it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Friends, these demons knew their ultimate fate. We read in the Matthew account of the story, they say, what you want, Son of Man, they shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? You see, friends, these demons knew that at some point in time they're going to be thrown into hell, and there they will remain for all eternity. So what have we learned? Demons are real. Demons have a leader. Demons understand spiritual truths, friends. But this is the most important. Demons obey Jesus. So, friends, we can confidently declare Jesus is Lord over demons. The question is Jesus Lord over your life? Friends, there's a great benefit of making Jesus Lord of your life. And it's simply this, because we hear this man's healing in this clear testimony. In John 10:10, it says, the thief, the devil, the demons, come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you have may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is Lord, friends. He's Lord over the demons. If you make him Lord of your life, friends, you will have life and have it to the full. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you displayed and declared your lordship over demonic activity while you were on earth. There is coming a day, Lord, when those demons will finally be thrown into the pit and be locked up for all eternity, never to be feared or concerned about ever again. Thank you for the joy that we have in knowing that, even now their destruction has begun. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, go out with confidence, knowing that you need fear nothing, not even the demons. Amen.